Easter. I was asked earlier this week by one of the gentlemen at work, have you got it all ready? Have you studied hard and got the message all ready for Easter Sunday? Man, I've been studying about the Easter Sunday and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ ever since the Lord brought me into this ministry. You cannot talk about the gospel, the good news, which is the only message God's preacher preach. You cannot talk about the gospel without talking about the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Jesus is the gospel. His love for his people, the love that he has had for his people before the world ever was, is the gospel. Everything else you can attribute to whatever you want to. But if you do not talk about our Lord and Savior, then you do not preach the gospel, and you are not one of God's preachers. I cannot confine that message to one Sunday a year. And I know people who only go to church one Sunday every year just so they can hear whatever it is they want to hear. So they can dress up in their best Sunday clothes, so they can go out with their children and look for Easter eggs and play around with chocolate bunnies. Now, I love chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs. Those are great. Just fantastic things to eat. Not good for my body, but very good for the taste buds. That's not salvation, folks. That's not the gospel. When I first came to this pulpit as your pastor, interim, I told you then, my position is not to tell you how to live. God will do that. My position is only, and I hope that the Lord will give me the ability to continue this message for as long as he allows me, as he did with Pastor Gene. To speak the same message every Sunday. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who was made to be sin for me. He died on that cross. His blood was shed. The blood of God paid the price. There's nothing left for me to do. That's the message that should be preached every Sunday. This is the message that sinners need to hear, because we walk around in this world every day and we see the sin in our own bodies, the sin of our flesh before us. It's a story that I need to hear over and over and over again. It never gets old. Just as manna was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, Israel had to have something to eat every day, didn't they? And they were out in the desert, in the wilderness, the picture of the world, the valley, the shadow of death. They had to have something to eat. Christ is my manna. I'm here to feed on him. I need to hear about him on Friday night Bible study. I need to hear about him Sunday morning's Bible study. I need to hear about him in the message. God help me to continue preaching Easter every Sunday. Yes. And I'm going to purposely turn away from that word Easter today, right in front of you, because I don't want to be like the world. Yes. You want to be like the world? There's 1,000 churches out there. There's 1,000 people who call themselves Christian, religious. When they show up for church one time a year on Sunday morning on a day called Easter so they can hear something. And then they go right back into the world doing everything they've always done. Turn to the Psalms, if you would. Turn to Psalms number 4. I got up this morning at 3 o'clock and I had notes put down for this message today. And I went through and erased everything. Yeah, it just didn't seem right. I had to do something. I had to look at it differently. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever struggled with what it is that God may be leading you to do in this world? Have you ever thought, you know, Lord, what am I here for? I want to do something. What is it you want me to do? If you've ever asked that question of your Savior, I pray that our Savior will speak to you this morning. In our Friday night Bible study, we are looking into the grace that God has for His chosen people. Grace that even was there before they knew what it was to be called from darkness. Before they had ever even heard the gospel preached for the first time. You know, God has been gracious to us since before the foundation of the world. That's what He says. He says, I predestinated you to be my people from before the world was. We were chosen in Christ before the world ever was. The grace of God didn't start the very first day that you heard the gospel preached. The grace of God started before anything was ever created. God knew that Adam was going to sin. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Did He say no? No, no. He didn't say this. He said, you know, Adam, if you eat of that, you're going to die. No, He said, in the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. Our Lord is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world because God knew that He was going to have to send His Son to become a man. He knew that His Son was going to have to establish a righteousness for a wicked and sinful people. He knew that John Reeves was going to be a fool and unworthy of His righteousness and unable to stand in front of Him in heaven forever because John has no righteousness of his own. He knew He was going to have to send His Son to establish that righteousness for me so I could be with Him for the rest of eternity. So that I could stand in praise and honor. So that I could be as Peter did. And fall at the knees of Jesus. Depart from me because I am unworthy of you. It's called prevenient grace is what it's called. That's very simple. It means it precedes the life-giving call. The very call that God's people received the day of His choosing. Not ours. Not the day that we decide. Not the day that we've made a decision to stop doing the foolish things that we used to do and start doing all the righteous things that we think we should do. But the day that our Lord decided, this is the day I will call my people out of darkness. This is the day that I will deliver my people, the people of Israel, from the bondage of sin. This grace or favor, as you may call it, it could relate to almost anything, could it not? Is it not the grace of God that this country is what it is today? As I said in last week's message, this country was brought about, if you believe that God is sovereign over everything, and He is, if you truly believe that God rules all things, then that means this country was put in place so that you and I could hear the gospel preached and come out of that darkness that we once walked in. That's prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is what kept John Reeves from flying off the road when he stole his mother's car and did 90 miles an hour down a street that goes like this. and flew instead of going off into a tree or something like it has with others. What kept John Rees from dying? Prevenient grace. The grace of God. It wasn't my time to go. When it is my time, it doesn't matter whether I'm stealing somebody's car or whatever, I'm going to go because that's the way God rules over everything. God is gracious to His chosen even when we don't see it. He who has loved this people from the foundation of all creation is gracious to us even when we don't see it. Are you with me in the fourth psalm? Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. David, a man after God's own heart. Do you hear his cry to God? How long? Yeah. How long, Lord, must I walk in this path that I'm on? How long must I endure the problems of this life that I must go through? Paul asked that 3 times of our Lord, and our Lord said, my grace is sufficient. We're only here for a very short time, folks. And I know that doesn't take anything away from the troubles that we have. I know. I have to deal with those very same things. Verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God has set apart people for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of the righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. The people of God have no confidence in our flesh. Why? Because we know that our flesh is weak. You know it better than anybody else does. All you got to do is get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and you see it, huh?
Yeah, great.
That's why I need the manna every day. I need to hear about my Savior all the time. There may be many, verse 6, that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up thy light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. The older will serve the younger. The sons of Esau will serve the sons of Jacob, even when we can't see it. Now turn over to the 8th chapter of Romans, if you would. We can't see the good from this disease called cancer, can we? And I tell you here, this very time, right now, there are many among us. Many. That we're praying for in Friday night's prayer time. We have a little bit of a prayer time before we jump into the study on Friday night Bible study. And we have a list of those that we pray for, and then we talk about those that need to be added to that list. And I'm telling you, folks, there are many sitting right here in this very room who have very close loved ones that are dying from cancer. Those of you who may remember a name by the name of Ray Bennett, a dear brother, still a dear brother, Bill, don't go too quick. He's still a dear brother. He still lives. But he has incurable cancer. Incurable cancer. My wife's sister has sick cancer for the second time. There are others in this room who have very close relatives that have not long to go either, or who have already lost. We all know our brother Roger Deaver. God, that broke my heart to see, to watch him go through that. What good? What good is in this disease called cancer? Yet our loving, all-knowing God has told us that all things are for our good. Has he not? Has he not told us that? Are not all the promises of God yea? Folks, this promise applies to all things as they relate to our little world, the little bubble that we live in. Have you ever heard the phrase, get the big picture? There's a lot of stuff going on in this world that we don't see. There's a lot of things that happen. We see all the big stuff like 9/11, things that are close to us in this world, but there's a lot of things going on around us that we don't see. The sons of Esau. And who knows, maybe one of those sons of Esau will discover cancer, the cure for cancer. Oh, I pray the Lord will lead somebody to do that soon. But for now, thy will be done. That's what our Lord said. When all of our sin was laid upon him, he who is perfect in every way, he who is righteous in everything that he did, everything that he said, everything that he thought, when all of our sins were laid upon him, oh, Father, isn't there somebody else who could take this cup? He who has all power, the power in just the thought to create all it is, said, couldn't there be somebody else to take this cup? The cup that you and I deserve? Yet what did he say? Nevertheless, I will take that cup because this is your will. When I was being trained for this position, and I assure you, I really did not believe I was. Kathy kept telling me, oh yeah, you are, yeah, 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 you are. I should listen to my wife a lot more than what I do. I really did not believe I was. I thought God would show me that this is what he wanted me to do and guide me in that path. But he didn't. The Lord didn't show me until it was boom, instant. This is the way it is. That guy's got to go and you're in it. All those years, I watched. I watched very, very closely. Not knowing that the Lord was teaching me what I needed to do to be able to stand in this position and preach to his children. What I needed to know to tell people about the God that loves me. How to speak. You know, when I first stood up here just to sing one time a special song, Judy thought there was a drummer going on. I'm not kidding. I shook so bad. Ask Kathy. I almost got sick. I had to get up and leave the room afterwards because I thought I was going to throw up. That's how nervous it made me. Yet the Lord began training John Reeves, who couldn't speak in front of anybody, let alone a mirror. how to speak in front of His people so that when His people would come into this room, I could tell them about a Savior who shed His blood and perfectly saved them from their sins. Salvation is of the Lord. I was sure that God would be plain and open with the path that I was to follow. And He was. It just wasn't my time to know it. It wasn't when I thought He should show me. I watched and carefully studied the ways, the messages, the graciousness our pastor had for the matters of the church. And yet we were all so sure that that position was to go to another. My point in sharing this with you is this. When it pleased God. Not when it pleased John. Not when John made some decision to come to the front. But when it pleased God. Our God rules over everything. He's sovereign in all things. As He asked Job, "Did I seek your counsel when I made the worlds?" Our great God doeth all things well, and sometimes we can't see the end results of the way He is leading us. But we do know this. All the way my Savior leads me, doesn't He? You see, this is our hope. The things we can't see are His, as it is with all things. Are you with me in Romans 8? Look at verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." These pains we've been going through aren't just our times, are they, folks? They've been going on ever since the beginning of time. Cain killed Abel. You tell me that wasn't painful for Adam or Eve. They were humans. They had feelings just like you and I do. The world has been in a curse ever since the day Adam ate of that fruit. I had to remind a close relative of mine. Everything we see is going to be burned up. Oh, I love to go to the mountains. I love to see all the wonders that God has created. But this is all cursed. Everything about this world is cursed and is going to be gone. When the Lord Jesus comes back, everything will be burned up. All of those who are in wickedness and do not have the righteousness of Christ will be cast into the fiery pit. But God, who is rich in mercy, those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that curse has already been paid for. That curse has already been removed. He was made a curse for us. Everyone who hangeth on a tree is cursed. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to that tree, yet death could not hold Him. He's God. Who's going to hold God? If you're thinking of a God that could be held by anything of creation, then you've got a very weak God. And not only, verse 23, "and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But a hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." When it please God is the title for this message. Not when it pleased us, but when it pleased God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, what it is to have God pray for us. I don't know about you folks, but I'm always praying for myself because I see myself doing wrong more than I see anybody else. I'm always right there at that top of that list that we have on Friday night. Because my sins are ever before me. And the Spirit's making intercession for me and praying to the Lord when I don't even know what to pray. How much does he love us? How much does God love his people? That he sends his Spirit to pray for us. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about amazing grace. Oh. And we know that all things, verse 28, work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his word. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's our Easter right there. That's an Easter that we celebrate every day. He called me. Just as he called Peter. With the effectual call. With the voice of God. A voice that reaches right in and grabs a person and says, "You're mine. I paid for you, and you will be mine forever." What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the hope that all of God's called have. It's a hope established by God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1, if you would, please. Paul, who is declared in Scripture to be an example to all of God's elect, he points us to this truth. A truth that I'll read with you in Galatians in a moment. Before I get there, in Psalms 145:15, it says, "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." Thou givest us our meat in due season when it pleased God. In Isaiah 40:31 it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. And they shall walk and not faint." What do? They wait upon the Lord. They wait when it pleases God. Until that time, Lord, give me the power and the ability to endure. When it pleases God, then I'll walk and I'll fly as an eagle. In Jeremiah 14:22, he says, "Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things." Are you with me in Galatians? Look at verses 15 and 16 of chapter 1. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace," when it pleased God, the very one who called me by his grace, when it pleased him to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. When it pleased God to reveal his son in us. That was the message last Sunday. In Christ. When it pleased God, he reveals his son in all of his people, and not a moment before. When was it for you? As I shared with you in Bible study, it was a long time after Mike was born. He walked a very long path through the righteousness of the men before God was pleased to reveal his son in Mike. I walked for 40 years in my own righteousness, thinking of myself as the destiny, the one who creates my own destiny. 40 years before the Lord was pleased to reveal his son in me. That eliminates free will completely. Because it pleased God to reveal his son in his people. Didn't please God that you made a choice to follow him. It didn't please God that you all of a sudden got smart and decided to stop doing the things of the world. No, it pleased God to reveal his son in you. It was in God's time that Paul was called, just as it is his time for all things. He is the ruler of time. We've got these little teeny brains that think of time as this big thing. No. Time is God's creation for us. His ways are not our ways. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, please. I won't be much longer. Why must we watch? Why must we suffer while we watch a loved one die? I watched Lamar Garner go through a year and a half with a woman that he was married with for many, 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 many years. His best friend, as he would say many times over. As she suffered through old age. It took a year and a half for her body to finally give out. And that's a sad thing to watch somebody go through. I watched my own dad, Calvin Samuel Ellis. And I call him dad because God gave him to be a dad for me where my dad was not one. I have to say that. Because I want you to know what Calvin Samuel Ellis meant to me. But I watched the Lord. I watched him, his dad's body deteriorate for 10 years. He built that house on the mountain up there that mom lives in, on a rock. And then he got sick. It took 10 years for him to die before his body finally stopped working anymore. Why do we suffer? Why must we suffer while watching a loved one die? Why do I not see any fruit of my struggles? Am I on the path that God would have me go? I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, that if God has given you faith to believe his word, then you know that you are on the path. My goodness, did I forget? I apologize. That'll never happen again. Don't ever let me bring that into my church again. If you can help me remember that, please. If God has given you faith to believe his word, then you know that you are on the path that he has given you to follow. If you know who God is, if you know who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is, then you know that everything is on the path that God has for you. Even if it's a path of sorrow. Even if it's a path of frustration. Even if it's a path of prosperity. If you're a child of God, you are on the path that God has you to be on. Simple as that. He rules over everything, or he's not God. We look not on the things of the flesh. We look to Christ, our Savior, our King, our God. The very fact that I am looking to my Savior, the very fact that I believe his word, the very fact my only confidence is him, is fruit of the Spirit. We have no confidence in our flesh. Don't let yourself fall in that trap of, am I doing the right things? I'm not telling you to go out and do the wrong things. That's just foolishness. But if you know the Lord, all the rest of that stuff will follow. He won't let you go out there and sin willfully. He won't. He just doesn't do that. Oh, you may think you are, but he's just pulled his hand away from you for a little bit, and he's going to let you fall flat on your face for a few seconds, and it's going to hurt. I know, and some of you here know exactly what I'm saying, don't you? Yeah. It hurts. The very fact that we look to our Savior, the very fact that we believe his word, the very fact that our confidence is in him and him alone is the fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me in Philippians? Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. Yes. That at the time of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and earth, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whereof, wherefore, my beloved, because we know that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of? Exactly. Not our pleasure. Because it pleases God. Everything I've said to you so far this day has been this. Our God rules. And he rules everything. Or he's not God at all. We're in vain if we don't believe that God rules all things. And to do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I think I shared this with you last week, but I had a conversation with a man who said, I cannot stand my son who is cursing all the time, using such foul language. And I'm not trying to tell you that you should go out and curse all the time, but that's not what should be offensive to you. There's a lot of people who declare themselves to be Christians who go out and say, I don't cuss anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do this anymore. And what does the world look at them? What did you used to look at them like? Oh, you're holier than me, Mr. Righteous over there. And I looked this man right in the face and I said, this is the difference between God's people and the people of the world. I look to my Lord and Savior who is perfect. Don't look at me. Don't try to look at what John's doing and see whether he's a Christian or not. If you see me being a Christian, it's because I'm looking to my Lord for everything. I know that when He is pleased to do so, He will work those things out in me. We trust in the Lord, do we not? That's what it's all about. Folks, if our walk in this life is to abstain from sin, and it is, which means to restrain, by the way, abstain, that means to restrain. That means try your best. Do what you can. Turn away from it if you can. Don't sin. If you sin, there's going to be trouble. Not death, but there are consequences of it. If you go out and kill somebody, you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. If you cheat on your wife or husband, you may get a divorce. There's consequences to sin. Try not to. Do everything we can, but when we fail, oh, the blessedness of God, we have an advocate. Lord, help me to turn away from those things. But thank you. Thank you for taking those that I can't turn away from upon yourself. Restrain from at least restrain from enjoying the act. And to trust in He who is God in the flesh, our labors are not in vain. If we are children of God and we trust in our Lord, our labors are not in vain. It says in the word of the Most High, in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now notice what it says next. That whosoever believeth, it doesn't say whosoever stops doing this and starts doing that. It says, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that God has given you the gift of faith? Because if He hadn't given it to you, you wouldn't believe. You sit here today and you hear the word of God and you say, I know that's true. The reason you know is because God has done a work in your heart. You are on the path. The reason you know is because it pleased God to reveal His Son in you. I'll close with these last words. Turn over to the 17th chapter of John, if you would. I can tell you from experience, you, this very day, are exactly where our Savior wants you to be. You are doing this day exactly what the God of the universe is directing you to do, or He's not God. And all that we are is vanity. Folks, we're here on this world for one purpose and one purpose only. Every one of us. John 17:13. Our Lord Jesus Christ is crying out to His Father from the garden. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy through thy truth. For thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Catch this, folks. This is important. Our Lord Jesus Christ is interceding to God on our behalf right here. And he's telling us he's not praying just for us. No. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. What did I tell that man? Quit looking at people and what they're doing in the world and look to Christ. That's the difference. You want to hear the difference between John Reeves and all the rest of the men and women who walk this earth? I believe God. I trust in my Savior because He has given me the ability to do so. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our path that we should be walking? We're walking the exact path that the Lord has us to walk. And everything we do is giving Him all the glory. You want to know if you're hearing a preacher preach the truth to stand before you? Ask yourself this question. Is he preaching about the glory of God, or is he preaching about the glory of something else? There's only one who gets glory, folks. There's only one. And there's no one else going to get it, no matter how much they think they are. All glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Who died on the cross and 3 days later arose, showed himself to many to prove who he was. And then he went on to be in heaven where he belonged, sitting on his throne, working all things out according to the counsel of his will. Amen.